We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Thursday morning. I hope you're having a great day. It is beginning to look a whole lot more like Christmas. We are 4 days away from the big celebration. Actually, most churches are celebrating big time on Christmas Eve, and Christmas Eve is on a Sunday this year, as you know, and so we have a big day planned at First Baptist Texarkana morning and evening. And Christmas really is, as the angel told the shepherds, it's good news of a great joy which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you, Christmas is personal, born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And so no matter what's going on in your life, if you'll fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, you can have joy because he is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Joy. He is the God of Hope. Well, it is a great privilege this morning to welcome to the program a man that is no stranger to American Family Radio, Bishop B.W. Jackson, a pastor, a bishop, a lawyer, a Marine, author of several books, a great speaker, and most recently a candidate for President of the United States of America. And Bishop, we welcome you to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, it's a pleasure being on. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, I appreciate you, my brother. And so I wanted to our listeners to hear from you. You've been on the campaign trail, and I have such admiration for you, Bishop, to give up a lot to throw your hat in the ring. And as you said, you did it because you felt like God had called you to do that and you wanted to be obedient. So what has that experience been like?
Oh, it has been, as always, a tremendous learning experience, Jeff. First of all, it confirms for me, every time I've run, and I've run several times, but it confirms for me the decency, the goodwill, the integrity of the American people. I know we're not a perfect country, but I've traveled the breadth of this nation and met people from all over this country, and I've met some wonderful people. This was another opportunity to do so. I mean, even people who knew that I was at best a long shot, but they were gracious. They wanted to hear what I had to say. They were encouraging. So it really just confirms my faith in this nation. And by the way, since I happen to be an American of African ancestry, to me, it once again gives the lie to the notion that America's a white supremacist country, America's a racist country, all this nonsense that we hear spewed against our nation. Again, not that we don't have people who are, for whatever reason, have racial animus in their hearts of whatever backgrounds, but that's not who we are as a nation, and that's not predominant in our culture. So those good things were affirmed for me, and that's a lesson I will take away from all of these political experiences that I've had. But you know, there is a downside which gives me a more impetus to stay actively engaged and involved, not as a candidate, but just in speaking out. And that is, I saw that the anti-Christian bigotry that exists in many of our institutions and in the media is more real and more profound even than I understood. You know, I used to always, when I was a regular talk show host on American Family Radio, say how important this network is. Wow, Jeff, did I come to understand just how important it is, because there is an effort to silence the voices of Bible-believing Christians, and it is happening all throughout our culture. And I think that was one of the major obstacles that I had as a candidate, that people just don't want to hear a biblical worldview. And I think that's why we've got to double down on it. I was really pleased to hear you talking about Christmas, because I thought to myself, that's one of the areas where we've got to stand up and say, well, this is what Christmas is really all about. It's all about the birth of the Savior of the world. And we as a country have always believed that, but there are people who want to take that away from us.
Amen. I read your email this morning, Bishop, where you were talking about that. So I appreciate you taking a stand. And you always do take a stand. I think that your organization's stand is fitting for who you are. And stand stands for staying true to America's national destiny. And you founded that how many years ago?
Actually, 14 years ago, 2009. And we're coming up. We're going to celebrate, what is this, next year's 2024? Wow, we're going to celebrate our 15th year in next May, because I founded it on July 4th. And I founded it, Jeff, for the same reason we've been talking about. I realized our Judeo-Christian values were under assault, that the election of Barack Obama was not going to be a good time for America. And man, I look back on it, I think it was a sea change for our country. Instead of moving us ahead and unifying us across racial and cultural lines, it only exacerbated the divisions in our country. And we're still living in the aftermath of the terrible legacy, in my view, that he left us, and all of the homosexuality and you know, his pushing that agenda. And I started stand to say, well, Lord, what would you have me do to try to make sure that America remains true to who we really are, true to our Judeo-Christian roots and values? And that was what God gave me, stand, stay true to America's national destiny. I had a destiny when I put you in the hearts, put this nation in the hearts of your founding fathers, and they're trying to take that legacy away, just like they have in many institutions, Harvard and Yale and Columbia, and these institutions that were founded by Christians with a Christian mission, but they've completely rejected that and gone into a kind of anti-Christian culture, and that's what they're trying to do to our country. I founded Stand to bring us together across racial and cultural lines to uphold those Judeo-Christian values and principles, and yeah, we're about to celebrate 15 years next May.
How cool. Okay, so Bishop, you got your law degree at Harvard, and Harvard has been in the news quite a bit with President Claudine Gay coming across as anti-Semitic, to say the least, and then finding out she's a plagiarist. Give me your two cents on what's going on at Harvard.
Well, once again, John Harvard founded Harvard over 400 years ago with the purpose of taking the gospel of Jesus Christ across this continent. There's a statue of John Harvard in Cambridge Square, in what they call it Harvard Square, but it's right outside the campus. And I've often said that if he knew what was going on in Harvard, he would get up and walk away, because they have so violated what the school. Remember, the school's original motto was "Truth in Christ." Mm-hmm. And they rejected that and just went with truth. And now, of course, we know that there's not even any adherence to truth, because they don't believe that there is such a thing. So essentially what we have is an elitist attitude that whatever we say should be accepted as truth. And so if we say that men can have babies, then that should be accepted as truth. If we say that you can be a chaplain and an atheist, which Harvard now has a chaplain who is an atheist, you should accept that as truth. I saw some of that when I was there. I graduated from the law school in 1978, and I certainly saw some of that when I was there. And the campus was definitely secular. And when I got saved, I found out there were Christians there, even then, who were keeping their mouth shut. And of course, I got so mightily saved that I couldn't keep my mouth shut. So that became a little bit of a problem for me at Harvard Law School. but look, it sadly has gone completely away from its mission. So all this stuff that's happening right now, it doesn't surprise me, not one bit, Jeff. Look, the Harvard Divinity School, founded, again, to advance Christian scholarship, ideals, thoughts. When I was living in Boston, of course, I lived there for over 20 years, they had a display in their lobby called Sacred Condoms, in which they took condoms and made crosses and crucifixes and things. Just, it was a blasphemy and a denigration of Jesus Christ. And that's what, sadly, Harvard has become. I don't know why any Christian would send a young person to a school like that. I think that the prestige that they once had, in my view, is completely gone. Mm-hmm. And they've become an influence for godlessness in our culture.
They really have. I ran across this quote yesterday, Bishop. I thought it was pretty telling. It's from a guy named Jason Riley, who's a black conservative commentator. Mm-hmm. Anyone suggesting that Miss Gay, president of Harvard, deserves the same treatment as Miss McGill, who had to resign at UPenn, stands accused of racism by liberal elites who maintain that all black people not named Clarence Thomas are off limits to criticism.
Yeah, exactly. Because unless you adhere to liberal orthodoxy, you are by definition the enemy. But if you adhere to liberal orthodoxy, you are by definition an innocent, virtuous victim who must be protected no matter what you do. And so we can tear down statues of George Washington and Abraham Lincoln because they weren't perfect as human beings, but we can erect statues of George Floyd because he was the victim of a police brutality, but we can ignore the fact that he was a meth addict. We can ignore the fact that he was high on fentanyl. We could ignore the fact that he was trafficking in counterfeit currency. All that's not important, because the only thing that's important is that he's black, he's a victim, and therefore we ascribe to him virtue that he clearly doesn't have. I mean, it is topsy-turvy. You know, the word of God, Jeff, God is no respect of persons. There's no partiality in him. God is looking at our hearts. He's not looking at our skin color. And that's been the saving grace of our country. That's what allowed us, unlike other countries, not only to come out of slavery, but to do so with the declaration of the equality of all human beings before God, our Creator, and found our country in a way that no other country was ever founded. But there are people, you know, Psalm 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Well, I tell you, there are people who are definitely trying to destroy those foundations, and you can find them in these elite institutions.
Well, I've been watching, as I imagine you have, some of these hearings where they get these judges before the Senate, and they ask them questions. John Kennedy from Louisiana asked these judges these questions, almost like a pop quiz on legal things, and they can't answer basic questions. It makes them look very, very foolish, and people have been saying, conservatives have been saying, that's what you get with DEI. You get people that aren't qualified in those positions. I don't care the color of my pilot, of my aircraft, you know, my airline. I want the guy to be qualified. And, you know, the sad truth is, Bishop, guys like you who are extremely qualified, extremely smart, extremely articulate, but because you're conservative, you're just swept under the rug.
Yeah, and Jeff, let's not to put too fine a point on this, but when you are conservative and you are a Bible-believing Christian, well, you are really persona non grata. Mm-hmm. Because now you're coming from a biblical perspective and you're asking people to look at things not based on the color of one's skin, but the content of one's character, and that you're saying that we are all human beings before God, that he has the same standard for all of us. And that is a message they don't want to hear. And when it's rooted and grounded in scripture, I mean, they hate it all the more. And you are right. Look, I'm convinced of this, and not to beat my own chest as if I'm some sort of special victim. I'm convinced that Christians, regardless of the color of our skin, are more and more going to find ourselves marginalized, mm-hmm. more and more find ourselves ghettoized, if you will. You know, I've said that the Democrat Party ghettoized the black community, and in some ways, I think the Republican Party is trying to ghettoize the Christian community and basically say, you know, we appreciate your vote and we want your support, but please don't get in the way of what we want to do. Mm. And I think Christians are more and more going to find ourselves in that position. Are going to have to be prepared to just stand up for who we are as Christians and not be focused on skin color and all this other stuff, but be focused on our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Well, we're talking to the Bishop E.W. Jackson, who is just recently off the campaign trail. And we're talking about lots of different subjects. And EW, when we come back from the break, I want to talk to you about the border, because I know you've been to the southern border. It seems like it's getting worse, not better. And that's a huge problem that is going to bite us in the long run. And for those that think it's not a big deal, it's a huge deal. And we're not equipped to handle all this stuff. So issues like that. We're going to talk to him about the situation in Israel. I just love hearing from the bishop. Very articulate, very well versed on what's going on in our country and abroad. And so such a treat to have you, my brother. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And I do hope that no matter what's going on in your life, that you will focus on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of faith. And we have peace when we do like Mary, sit at his feet and listen to his word. We'll be right back. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, and we're talking about a lot of different subjects. And Bishop, let's talk about what's going on in Colorado. Here's a news piece. The title says, "Liberal Journalists Hail Removing Trump from Colorado Ballot as a Win for Democracy, Clear as Day." What's your take on what happened in Colorado?
Well, I don't believe it will stand. I don't believe that any state has the right to remove a candidate from the ballot based upon their characterization of something that happened when that candidate has not been convicted of anything. This is strictly political. They don't like Donald Trump, and they want to make sure that Donald Trump does not become president. And I think that they way overshot the mark. I think the Supreme Court is going to hear this case. I think they're going to feel they have to. And I think they're going to shoot down these efforts to keep him off the ballot. And, you know, it's interesting how these leftists play with vocabulary, that this this is somehow good for democracy. No, for a constitutional republic that selects leaders on the basis of people voting, the right thing for a democratic nation with a small d is that the people get to decide themselves. But see, this is not where leftists are. They are in a totalitarian mindset where they think they know what's best for everybody, and they're going to determine what options you have. I mean, I experienced the same thing with my campaign, where I was excluded from events and told that we don't want you participating. And it was not because people didn't want to hear what I had to say. It was because elitists thought that I would rock the boat, that it might not be good for their plans. Mm-hmm. And this is a sad, sad day in our country when we come to this. And I think that it's going to all fall under its own weight, because it is unconstitutional to try to keep him off the ballot. That's where the constitutional merit lies, in my view. And most legal scholars seem to agree with that. And so I think that Donald Trump is going to be on the ballot in all of these states. Now, again, I'm not going to prophesy exactly what's going to happen, but based upon the polls we're seeing right now, if he's on the ballot in all these states, he's going to be the next president.
Mm. Well, now, what do you think about that? As far as would you be happy with that?
Well, look, I would be happier than I would be with anybody else that I see on the horizon. So would I vote for Donald Trump? Am I going to vote for Donald Trump if he is the Republican nominee and he's running against any Democrat in the known universe? absolutely, I will. But look, here's why I ran, and here's what I would say. I don't see any candidate, and that includes Donald Trump, an understanding of the fact that America is in a full-blown spiritual battle. It is a spiritual and cultural revolution that we are undergoing. Mm-hmm. And the president, in my view, must understand that, because if he doesn't, he will serve 4 years and do what he can with the government. But the cultural rebellion against God will continue unabated. And when he's gone, everything that he's done, unless somebody else comes along with the same mindset, is going to be undone. And we saw that in the first 4 years. I mean, we saw him do some wonderful things. And the Biden administration came in and undid them all. I mean, pretty much. The economy, the border, you name it. I mean, they just went through and just wholesale undid everything he was trying to do. And that's my concern about the future of the country. Donald Trump is temporary, right? I mean, I hope the man lives a very long, fruitful life, but he is temporary. He's got 4 more years as a president. What happens then? Mm-hmm. We've got to have an understanding of where we are, that it is a spiritual battle, and we've got to really go after these institutions that are influencing our country in a godless and rebellious direction, and a direction that, in my view, is not only violative of the Constitution, but violative of the Judeo-Christian principles and values that undergird the Constitution. So would I vote for him? Absolutely. Without any equivocation whatsoever, absolutely I would. Do I think he's the ultimate answer for what we need? No, we've got to have some leadership that understands the spiritual dynamic of what's going on in our country.
Do you think any other candidate other than yourself understood the or understands the spiritual dynamic?
I wish I could say that I do, but I don't.
Yeah.
You know, you basically listen to, I mean, for example, let's just take life, for example. Every candidate, in my view, including Donald Trump, has kind of equivocated on the issue. And to me, it's a litmus test for the health of a nation. If you can't protect unborn babies, the most innocent and vulnerable among us, how in the world can you protect me? Why would I trust you to protect me? And if we really believe that we're a culture that has been blessed by Almighty God, and that's been the key to our prosperity and our success, why in the world would we shake our fist at God and say, but we're not going to protect innocent human life. We're going to do what we want to do for our own convenience, our own selfish desires. And we don't care what you think. We don't care what the Word of God says or what the Bible says. I mean, that's not a healthy way to secure America's future. And so I was the only candidate, for example, who said we need a constitutional amendment that defines life and personhood at conception.
Amen.
And I think we need to put the pro-death crowd on their heels and make them defend themselves. For example, we're not raising the question, well, is it a baby or isn't it? And if it's a baby, when you end its life, are you killing it or not? Mm-hmm. We need to put these questions to them and make them answer, as opposed to always debating on the field of reproductive rights and, well, does it have a heartbeat? And not that all of these things are well-intentioned, and I think obviously they have their place. We want to minimize abortion. We want to stop as many as we can, but they don't really advance the ball down the field very much, because we know that most of the abortions happen in the earliest stages, and we are killing these unborn babies in still very, very large numbers, and I don't see anybody who's willing to talk about that. Again, from a biblical perspective, that makes the left answer rather than us defending, why are you against women? We're not against women.
Right. Well, and I think, too, you know, it seems to me, Bishop, the left loves to talk about we're the party of science. We're the party of science. Science obviously teaches that life begins at conception. If it doesn't begin at conception, when in the world does it begin? At 3 months, 6 months, 9 months? I mean, it's crazy. When a child is conceived, that's when that child becomes a person, and we do need to protect that child. Anything
Jeff,
you want to say about that?
I put it this way. When did you become you?
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is that the moment you were conceived, the genetic blueprint for who you ultimately developed into was all there, all of it. It was there. So when were you not you? Mm-hmm. And if you were you from the moment of conception, how is ending your life not murder? How is it not killing? So, yeah, I had an incident one time where a woman and her daughter approached me. I'd spoken at a pro-life event, and they kind of grabbed me as I was leaving and, you know, excoriated me about being against women. And I just paused and said, I believe this was of the Holy Spirit. I said to the woman, I said, well, wait a minute, is this your daughter? She said, yes. I said, so you're telling me that if you had killed her in your womb, that would have no moral consequence and it wouldn't matter a bit. And the little girl looked up at her mother, and her mother looked down at her, and she grabbed her hand and walked away.
Mm.
See, they don't want to confront the reality of what they're doing.
No. Oh, I preached, this was some years ago, I preached to a black congregation, and I talked about abortion, and I was pretty naive because I just figured if you're a Christian, you're pro-life. And I remember when people aren't with you, you can feel it. And so I remember talking to the pastor, and he told me, he said, Jeff, I know abortion is wrong. He said, but so many in the audience have been a part of that, so they're not going to amen you, and they're not going to go along with that. And so it is a problem, especially in the black community.
Well, look, 36% of the abortions that happen in the country happen to black women, and black women only constitute about 6% of the population. The black population is about 12.5, 13%, somewhere in there. So you can see it's completely disproportionate. But again, and no disrespect intended for this pastor, but that's why we've got to teach our people God's perspective. See, it's not, look, I can justify anything on the basis of the life I lived before I was a Christian. I could say, well, let's talk about drinking because, you know, I drank, and a lot of people, I don't want to amen telling people you shouldn't get drunk.
You know? Right.
We know we haven't met God's standard. That's why we need a savior. But once Jesus comes into our lives and enlightens us, our standard for what we amen should be based upon him and his word, not upon our experiences. And so there's something wrong when Christians feel like I can't go along with something because it's part of my experience. We should not be worshiping and bowing to our experience. We should be worshiping and bowing to God and his word, and letting that set the standard for our lives, even when it cuts us. I mean, look, I got saved at 24 years old, almost 25, and I did a lot of wrong stuff leading up to that time. But just the fact that I did it doesn't mean I should now make excuses for it. It was wrong. It was wrong for me, and it's wrong for anybody. And we've got to uphold God's standards, not our own.
Amen. Well, Bishop, let's talk about the situation at the border. I know that was one of the first things you did when you announced your candidacy was you went to the border, to the southern border, to see what was going on. As I mentioned right before the break, it seems like it's getting worse and worse and worse, not any better. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I went to Eagle Pass, spent 2 or 3 days down there, and really got to see it firsthand, Jeff. And that's another reason why I'm really glad I ran, because had I not run, I probably would have never had that experience. And it was heartbreaking because, again, I think conservatives have got to say to the country, this is not about compassion for illegal immigrants or people who are living, shall we say, less than ideal lives south of the border. This is not about trying to help them. This is about a power grab. This is about the Democrat Party believing that if you can flood the country with these people and you can give them welfare and give them phones and give them hotel rooms and transport them around the country, and the latest poll shows 2/3 of all illegal immigrants are on welfare. 2/3. And you can do this, then they will vote for you when the time comes that they're finally given the right to vote. And that will come because you won't be able to deport them, and you won't be able to get rid of them. And their children are going to be beholden to you, and their children are going to be citizens. This is a power grab. This is an effort to create a one-party state in America. I mean, we've got 50 million people in our country now who weren't born in America. I mean, this is a crisis of monumental proportions, and it's about trying to overthrow the country. You talk about a coup. This is really about a long-term, slow-boiling coup. And Americans have got to see it that way. These illegal immigrants are being used by cartels. They're being turned into drug couriers. I read an article about kids working in a slaughterhouse on the third shift because they're beholden to the cartels that they got to pay back what their parents or whoever got them into this country owe. I mean, this is a humanitarian crisis, and the only way to stop it is to secure the border. It's just on all sides. And then Americans, our wages are being suppressed. Crime is on the increase. I mean, and of course, our institutions are being overwhelmed. You see, even New York is complaining that they can't handle all the people being brought in. And think about what those southern states, those border states, are dealing with. No, so, yeah, it is a mess. And I trust that the next president will. I can't imagine, if we don't have a president who gets serious about securing the border, what our country is going to become. It is not a pretty picture.
Well, Bishop, do you foresee, as some have said, that there could be another civil war in America?
Jeff, I believe this. Either we're going to have another Great Awakening, or we're going to have a civil war. And I'm believing for a Great Awakening, because I think that the efforts to fundamentally transform the country are so profound that there's no way of compromising around them. I mean, you can't compromise between one, a parent who says, this is my child, I want my child educated according to my values, and I don't want my child given drugs or operated on or told that they can change their gender because I don't believe that. And somebody saying, well, too bad, you're too stupid to know what's best for your child, and we will do it ourselves whether you like it or not. And in some states, we will take custody of your child because you dare get in the way of this child's gender transition. I mean, how do you can't, there's no compromise there.
Right.
You are asking people to either roll over and allow the state to just basically destroy their lives and the lives of their children, or you're asking them to fight. And so we've got to find a way out of this. And the only way is for God's spirit to be poured out in such a way that the people who are doing this evil realize, I've sinned against God. I've gone against everything that is right, and I repent of it. I think that's what it's going to take. And God has done it for us before, and I'm just believing that he will do it for us again. And I'm hoping that before I leave this earth, I will witness that, Jeff, because I don't want a civil war in this country. I don't want anybody to think that anything I've said suggests that's a desirable outcome. It is not. But right. 2/3 of the American people think that it is a potential if something doesn't change.
Right. Yeah, we're on a bad trajectory, that's for sure. But listen, Christians, as we pray and as we stand in the gap for the land, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes, and God does respond as his children pray. Well, we're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson, and when we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines to take your calls. If you have a question for Bishop, he's gracious enough to stay on and take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear from you. And you're listening to Real Truth for Today, Pastor Jeff Shreve here. So we're up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We're talking to Bishop E.W. Jackson. We've been talking about a host of subjects, as the bishop is well-versed on lots of things. He was recently a candidate for the President of the United States of America. And Bishop, I just want to say, I think you would have made a great president. I think you would make a great vice president, because you do understand the issues, like the Sons of Issachar. You understand what's going on and what we should do. And so before we go to the phones, I just want to ask about your take on what's going on in Israel and the wave of anti-Semitism that is sweeping across America.
You know, I wrote a couple of articles. I went back to my archives and researched it back in 2009 about Barack Obama's anti-Semitism, about anti-Semitism in the Democrat Party, and about anti-Semitism in the black community, believe it or not, because I'd witnessed that and seen that. I warned that, so that was, 2009, 2010, a decade ago, that this was an undercurrent in these leftist enclaves. And now it's finally emerged, it's coming out, but it's been there for a long time. And it underscores again, Jeff, we are in a spiritual battle. This is ultimately not a political battle between Democrats and Republicans. This is ultimately a spiritual battle between the forces of darkness and the forces of light. And by light, of course, I'm referring to the light of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. And so we as Christians have got to understand a couple of things. Number one, anti-Semitism and anti-Christian hatred and bigotry, they are really two sides of the same coin. Where you find people engage in anti-Semitic behavior and thought, believe me, Christians are right in there as part of their target. Mm-hmm. So don't think, oh, that's terrible, it's happening to the Jews. It is, but believe me, these are enemies of God.
Right.
And therefore they are enemies of Christians too. So that's number one. But number two, we Christians have got to stand with Israel. I've got a banner up in my church that says Stand with Israel, the acronym STAND, of course, Stand mm-hmm. with Israel, because the Bible commands us to. And that's because Israel's perfect or because their leadership is perfect, but because these are covenant people of Almighty God. He has a plan for them, and he has commanded us to stand with them and to love them and to bless them. And we've got to do that. And sadly, now more than ever, we've got to take a firm, uncompromising stand that land belongs to them because God gave it to them. Amen. I am completely against the two-state solution because to me, it's like saying, okay, here's one medicine, pill of medicine, and here's one suicide pill, and you got to take them both. Well,
right.
you're going to die if you do that. And we know that that's really what a two-state solution would be. It would be suicide for Israel.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, the phone lines are filling up, so let's go now, 888-589-8840. And we have Shirley on the line from Tennessee. Shirley, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call, Bishop. I thank you so much, Pastor Shreve, my love, and Bishop, my second also love.
Thank
I've got
you,
to tell you, Bishop, I said on your show that if you ran for president, I'd vote for you, and I meant that with everything I love, and I told the people around me we only had one candidate, and that's you. And the fact that it didn't work out just settles it in my heart that this beast system is growing and God's got to put a whooping on these people. So he couldn't have somebody good like you in that office because he would have to move you out of the way to whoop some of these people that are not doing what God said to. As far as Israel, I'd like to just share Revelations 12, the last few verses. It tells us the rest of the story. They can't get Israel, so they're going to come after Christians, and they are more and more. We love you, and I pray that American Family Radio opens you a spot again because, you know what, we're present in our hearts, and you know what, I will be listening for you and listening to you anyway. I fully support you and Pastor Shreve, and I'm so thankful for this opportunity to get to speak with you one more time, and God bless you, and we love
you. God bless
you. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas to you, Shirley. Thank you very much. Well, Jeff, what can I say? I'm very, very appreciative of that, but I'm just glad to be on with you today.
Thank you, Shirley. God bless you. Well, we have Frank from Kentucky, and he has a question I think that many of us have. And so, Frank, go ahead.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, Frank.
This is are you going to ever come back to American Family Radio? We miss you.
Well, look, I would love to, but I don't want to put any pressure on American Family Radio. They've got a full panoply of great hosts, and I'm just happy to help out when I can, substitute or be a guest on the program, and we'll leave the rest in the hands of God. But I certainly do appreciate the sentiment, Frank. Thank you.
Okay, so Bishop, you're going to be one of the featured speakers at the retreat coming up in just another month or so. And give us a little preview. What are you planning to speak on?
Well, you know, that's very interesting that you said that, because I don't think I've been officially contacted about that.
But okay.
But look, is this the family event?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, look, I can tell you exactly what I'm going to talk about, because I'm talking about it all over the country. And in fact, Stand is launching a new campaign to save America. And the three principles are, we've got to come back to God. We got to come back to family as God designed it. And I'm going to be talking, in fact, we're starting something called the Family Restoration Institute, where we begin to reassert without apology, there's only one, there are only two genders, male and female. There's only one marriage, one man, one woman. And there's only one way to really raise a family according to God's plan. Not that we don't have families that are broken and problems and all of that. And God's grace is good and sufficient for them. But his ideal, his best is a husband, a wife, a father and a mother raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What do we need to do to get back to that? Because I don't believe that anybody wants to tackle that issue in the world, in the secular world, because it seems so intractable and things are so far gone.
Right.
But I really believe God can restore the family as he intended, and that's what I'll be talking about.
Amen. Well, you know, Bishop, I've said this before, you know, when people want to get into these race wars and call, you know, every white guy that's a heterosexual, you're an oppressor, and, you know, all these terrible names, and white supremacist, white nationalist, and, or, you know, that kind of thing, Christian nationalist. The black culture, in my opinion, you correct me if I'm off base on anything, has nothing to do with skin color, but it has everything to do with the value system that you've adopted with irresponsibility and all this stuff. It's like, that's never going to work. That's never going to get you ahead in life. It's always going to just destroy if you get involved in gangs. And I know in your own personal testimony, had your dad not intervened, you would have been a gang banger and probably dead. So would you say that is kind of the core of what has gone on in the black culture? They've adopted a set of values that are destined for failure.
Jeff, I don't know whether Thomas Sowell is a Christian. I don't know him personally, but I know one thing. He is a brilliant writer,
yes,
and social analyst. And he has argued, and I think he's absolutely right, the greatest indication of whether a people will succeed are the cultural norms and values that they embrace. And you're right, it has nothing to do with skin color. It has to do with what you choose to focus on. If you are focused, for example, on the fact that you're a victim and you're oppressed and you're looking at the past, then you're going to be a failure in life, because that's no formula for success. But if you're focused on the future and the potential that God has put in you to do what he has for you to do in this life, you're going to succeed, because you are forward-looking and you are obsessing not over what someone else has done to you, but what God wants to do through you. And so, look, nobody wants to say this, but I'll say it, because I grew up in the ghetto. I grew up in the black community. The black community has allowed itself, through the Great Society programs and welfare systems that have been pushed on it, to develop a lot of cultural pathologies that only serve to hurt it and to hurt people. And you've got to get rid of those, and you've got to embrace a set of values that exalt. Righteousness exalts a people, mm-hmm, right?
Right.
Righteous exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach to any people. You've got to embrace values that exalt people and that prosper and that make for healthy lives. And sadly, too many in the black community have embraced pathological values that only serve to denigrate people.
Amen. I would say this, and for all our listeners, if you can go on YouTube, listen to Thomas Sowell. I think he's one of the smartest guys in the last 100 years, and the black community doesn't give him the time of day. He's another Clarence Thomas, another E.W. Jackson. They just push him over to the side because he doesn't tell them what they want to hear. But he speaks the truth. I don't know where he is spiritually either, Bishop, but man, I love listening to that guy. He is spot on. Well, we're going back to the phone lines. Arthur from Alabama. Arthur, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, how are you guys doing this morning?
Great, great. Arthur, how are you?
All right, I had a quick comment about what you were stating about the Great Awakening or either Civil War, with our administration nowadays, what we have in there, it would not be a Civil War. They would declare martial law on us, and we would all be in trouble here.
Yeah, well, look, again, we 20 years ago, Jeff, 25 years ago, I would not even have raised that issue, and you wouldn't, and nobody would. But the polls indicate it's something that people are thinking about and commentators are talking about. We don't know what it would look like. We know it would be ugly. In the last Civil War, we lost over 600,000 Americans. Some put the number at 700,000. It was the greatest loss of life of any conflict the American people have ever been involved in. I mean, and that's saying something. Right. And we certainly don't want anything like that. So that's why I really believe that God is going to give us a great awakening, because I believe that this nation was inspired by Almighty God. I believe we are a covenant nation. And I believe that as long as there is a covenant people in this country that is acknowledging God and asking Him and interceding with Him in behalf of our country, God is going to show this nation mercy and bring us to where we need to be spiritually.
Bishop, what's your take on the January 6th debacle, called an insurrection? Some have said it was entrapment. Obviously, feds were involved. How do you see what happened on January 6th?
I think the January 6th was, first of all, that look, going into the Capitol was a mistake. I think the people who went in, they made a terrible mistake. It was a strategic mistake. It was a political mistake. Notwithstanding all the complications of guards, Capitol Police ushering them in and ushering them around, and people kind of wandering around the Capitol engaged in no violence whatsoever. Notwithstanding all of that, I think just entering the Capitol was just a big mistake. Now, having said that, how in the world do a few thousand people, whatever the number was, who gathered to hear Donald Trump, in a nation of 330 million people with a tripartite system of government, an executive, a judicial, and a legislative, how in the world do you come up with an insurrection when people go in and try to disrupt what they consider to be the certification of a false election? Now, how's that an insurrection? I mean, it's a protest. Maybe on some minds it's a riot, but it's not an insurrection.
Right.
I mean, they're using this rhetoric to try, again, to marginalize patriots and people who are concerned about the future of the country, and then using the criminal justice system to punish people. If the stories we've read are true, I mean, this stuff is actually criminal, what they're doing to these people and the sentences that they're giving them. And I would just say this finally, when the criminal justice system can no longer be trusted to be neutral and to enforce the law rather than enforcing a political agenda, again, that's one of those bad things that leads to really bad consequences. So I hope that, again, we get leadership that says we're not going to favor or punish liberals, conservatives, Democrats, Republicans. We're going to call balls and strikes. Mm-hmm. We're going to enforce the law equally and fairly across the board.
Well, the deep state is very, very deep, as we have been finding out. It's just corruption throughout. Well, Bishop, we just have another minute, so let me ask you this. What's up for you in 2024?
Well, I've got a busy schedule already erupting, and I'm looking ahead to it. I've got Andrew Womack coming to my church on the 27th. We've got a big Martin Luther King Leadership Breakfast. We got the retreat that you've just mentioned. We've got a number of things going on with Stan. We're going to be focusing on this campaign to save America, focusing on coming back to God, to family, and to the Constitution. That's the third principle, constitutional governance, because I really believe that in many ways we're being governed illegally because the government is no longer operating within its constitutional limits. It's just decided to do whatever it wants to do. So, got a lot of stuff going on. If people want to find out more, Jeff, they can go to standamerica.us.
Amen. Well, Bishop, thank you so much for being my guest. I'm sorry we didn't get to all the calls, but this has been a wonderful hour. And God bless you, my brother. I just appreciate you so much. And so I'm going to try and get on your schedule in 2024 to get you back to First Baptist Texarkana. You were a huge blessing when you were here last time.
Thank you, Jeff. Love to do it.
God bless you. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. I'll be with you again tomorrow. I'm going to get my wife to come Friday right before Christmas. And so we're going to have a great discussion, conversation together. So go out, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.